Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here at Pastor Adam.
Hey, everybody.
Hello. We are back for another episode of 13 Thankful Meditations.
Yep, and this is number...
Eight.
So we're almost done with them. We're a little over halfway. Pretty cool series. A lot of people have been giving us some, thankfulness for the series, which is kind of cool. And it's very different. There's no prep really for us. We have a quote from some sort of theologian, Christian writer, pastor. Almost all of them are old. So it's not like somebody new. And then one of them's a scripture at the very end that are just about in relation to thankfulness and gratitude. And the reason it's a different kind of series for us is because we literally are just have it in front of us and we're just thinking about it. We're meditating on it and we're doing it kind of out loud on the fly with no real prep whatsoever. So other than me and Steph knowing them ahead of time, there's no prep. We aren't talking through anything of what we're going to say about them.
There is prayer, though.
Yeah, there is prayer. We did pray. And that's about it. And so then we're just kind of laying them out there, and then we're going to throw them on social media, too. And so hopefully the goal would be that you would not just listen to us talk about it, but that you would meditate on it, too. And it would help grow and cultivate gratitude and thankfulness in our hearts towards God in general. Because, and one of the quotes we did talked about this, that thankfulness and gratitude in our hearts can heal all kinds of wounds and change our whole perspective, right? It is extreme. One of the quotes we did was like this. It is extremely hard. What was the one? Oh, my gosh, I just have to figure it out.
What was it? What were you saying?
The one about cynicalness.
Oh, number four?
Four. Yes, yeah. Four. That would have been episode 192. This one said it's like, it's extremely hard to have a cynical, hardened heart if you're being thankful.
Yeah.
Right? It's like they don't go together. It's like oil and water, right? And so the more we kind of grow our thankfulness, the better outlook we have on life, and not to mention the fact that there's all kinds of scientific studies that prove that health is better, mental health is better when somebody is naturally postured towards thankfulness and gratitude for their life, the things in their life, the people in their life, to God, all those things, right? That there is this different mindset, healthier mindset, healthier physical body, all from just cultivating thankfulness and gratitude. And we know that that's the highest form of worship we can do, mm-hmm. is to be thankful to God. And so that's all we're trying to do with this is just sort of grow that thankfulness in a unique way, right? So instead of us teaching seven principles of thankfulness for a series, we're just kind of meditating through some of these quotes. And they're all kind of different, and they're all kind of cool. The one today is the longest one that we have, and it is by Henry Nouwen. Steph will read it in a minute, but and Henry Nouwen is this might be one of the newest quotes in here. This is a 1900s, later 1900s writings. And his writings are phenomenal. Nouwen is some of the best Christian practical theology and writing that you can read. One of my absolute favorites. Similar to A.W. Tozer, which is the one we just referenced about A Thankful Heart's Not Cynical, mm-hmm. in 192. So I love anything by Henry Nouwen. He was a Catholic priest, I believe. I think that's correct. Anyway, phenomenal, phenomenal stuff. So today's number 8, episode, what are we on?
196.
From Henry Nouwen. Go, Steph, whenever you're ready.
Okay.
This one's long.
So I'm going to place this marker right here so I don't lose my spot.
Yeah, this is a long one. Everybody prepare, because this is the longest quote we have by far.
Okay. Gratitude as a discipline involves a conscious choice. I can choose to be grateful even when my emotions and feelings are still steeped in hurt and resentment. It is amazing how many occasions present themselves in which I can choose gratitude instead of a complaint. I can choose to be grateful when I'm criticized, even when my heart still responds in bitterness. I can choose to speak about goodness and beauty, even when my inner eye still looks for someone to accuse or something to call ugly.
This is really good.
That was really good.
This is really good. This is really good. So what he now intends to do is make these statements and then sort of explain the statements in detail. So that's what he does. He makes this big statement at the beginning, right? Gratitude as a discipline involves a conscious choice.
Conscious,
right?
Yeah.
Conscious choice. And then he starts to tell you all the ways in which you can do this conscious choice, even in the face of other things that, you know, may still be troubling, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the first part. Gratitude as a discipline involves a conscious choice. So this is the first one of these quotes that has talked about gratitude as a discipline.
Yeah, discipline.
Right? And that it is this conscious choice that we make. So what we're doing is, and that's what we're trying to cultivate with this series, by the way. We didn't know this until we read the Now In quote, but that's what we're trying to do. What we're trying to do is not just give ourselves some spirit of thankfulness, right? But we're trying to cultivate a discipline. Right?
Yeah.
That we're going to choose thankfulness and gratitude all the time in the face of anything. We're going to choose thankfulness, consciously choose. That's a big deal, right? Because I think a lot of times where Adam Cook goes wrong with my gratitude, my thankfulness is it only tends to come when it's a feeling, when it's an emotion, right? When like, you know, the only time I tend to express thankfulness and gratitude to God or my wife or my kids is when I have this little warm, gooey feeling of, oh, I'm so thankful for this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not really helpful. Anything based on emotions only is almost always misleading, right? Because we don't want to be led by our emotions.
Mm-mm.
And me and Steph are both emotional people.
It's true.
So we know what we're saying. Led by emotions almost always leads me wrong. Always, almost always. Even when those emotions are good, it tends to lead me astray. And most of the time, if I'm being honest, because I'm emotional, most of the time my emotions are not good. And so they definitely lead me astray.
Yeah,
right?
I get that.
And so if gratitude's not a discipline for us, where we're making a conscious choice, then it's always based on our emotions and our feelings. And it ain't never going to be adequate, and half the time it's going to be misplaced, and half the time we're not going to be thankful because the emotions didn't dictate it, right?
That's true.
Even though we should be, and we have lots of reasons to be, we don't feel it, so we don't do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't feel, all we're thinking about is the bad crap that happened today. We're not thinking about the good stuff that happened, and so our emotions then lead us down this path where, well, the day sucked and it was tough, and it doesn't make us be thankful to God. Right. And so he's saying that gratitude as a discipline involves a conscious choice. If you and I are going to have gratitude, it needs to be a discipline, and it has to be conscious. It has to be a conscious choice.
Mm-hmm.
This is very similar to, you could replace the word gratitude right there with the word prayer. Prayer as a discipline involves a conscious choice, right?
That's true.
If you're going to be somebody like think about it. If you are not disciplined in your prayers, it's not a conscious choice. You just do it when you feel it. How often do you pray? Hardly at all. For me, like me, if it's based on my feelings, I'm not praying hardly at all.
Well, yeah.
Right? You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like, but if it's based on, no, I have a discipline. I'm disciplined in my prayer. Think about Bible reading.
Yeah, true.
Like replace gratitude with the word Bible reading.
I thought about that as well.
Bible reading as a discipline involves a conscious choice. Bible reading where we're not consciously choosing it, how often would we actually read the Bible then if it was just based on feelings? Hardly ever.
You could even say right? church going, like attending right. church.
Yeah. I mean, like,
it's crazy.
You can basically put any sort of spiritual discipline in this word, right, in this statement right here, and it would fit. Or just about anything that would be, like, think about this. Think about the fruits of the Spirit. Name any of those fruits of the Spirit is a conscious choice. It's a disciplined, conscious choice, right? Like if you are going to be patient, that's going to have to be a disciplined, conscious choice. You're not just going to naturally be patient, because what you'll be if it's based on your emotions, you'll be impatient most of the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I love this. I really like this statement. I did not read this one much. I skimmed through it quick. I spent a lot more time on the one before, right? Because when we record, we usually try to record two episodes at the same time. So I thought about the one on the last episode a lot more than I thought about this one.
Mm-hmm.
But when you were reading this one, I was like, man, this is good, right? Mm-hmm. So gratitude as a discipline involves a conscious choice. And then he starts to go through these examples, which then made me give a Christian moo a few minutes ago, where I was, we were reading it, I was like, right. That's what Christians do. Christians do moos. And so he says, I can choose to be grateful. We'll talk about this one. I can choose to be grateful even when my emotions and my feelings are still steeped in hurt and resentment. So what Nouwen is saying is that you and I can still pick gratefulness.
Mm-hmm.
We can still pick thankfulness even when we're hurt, even when we're resentful. He even goes further and he was like, even when I'm criticized, even when my heart still wants to respond in bitterness, right? Oh my gosh, this is speaking like
it's so.
It's speaking like straight to my soul. You know what I mean?
I can tell it
by your face.
It's just it's deep. No, like even I mean, I think this is pretty easy to imagine. But when you see that steeped, you immediately think of tea,
yes,
and how it's steeping and all that. It's soaking it up, the flavor and stuff, and then you're just like, yep. You can imagine yourself just steeping,
yeah,
in these big like. Well, the bitterness, the hurt, the resentment.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you're choosing to be grateful. I don't know. That's just, it's just
because like, think about the concept of this. Is this going, okay, I went through, let's just take it, I don't know how to think about this other than taking it like at a day at a time.
Yeah.
So let's just say a day, today. Let's just pretend it's today. Somebody hurt me. Something lingered on from a time before. I'm around somebody who's hurt me before who has dismissed me. Right? That would happen for a lot of people listening at work. You mm-hmm. may not be directly hurt by somebody. You may be, but you may not be. But you might also be dismissed or ignored, right?
Yeah.
And when that happens repeatedly, you walk into that workplace or whatever setting it is, and you're resentful. You're resentful, and it's been lingering for days. So somebody hurt you today, or you walked in and you were resentful of how you've been treated by that person or not listened to or pushed aside or ignored or whatever for weeks and weeks and months and maybe the whole time you've ever known them. And so you walk into today with that resentment. And then somebody, maybe the same person, criticizes you, right? Or doesn't recognize you in the right way and you feel that. And there's just this big old tone of, like you said, the bitterness has done seeped out of the tea bag, mm-hmm. right? And it's all in the water and there's just tons of it and it's fuming at the top. And what he's saying is even today, with all that going on, with life happening with people, mm-hmm. right, I can still choose to be grateful.
Yeah.
It's a choice. And that's why he starts off with it being a discipline, right? Because you got to be disciplined in that to, I am a person who chooses gratefulness. So no matter what hurt came along, no matter criticism came along, bitterness came along, I'm trying to use his words, I am somebody who's still going to choose to be grateful.
Yeah, and with that, it's like you're still acknowledging that these things are happening.
Yeah,
they're present.
Right.
But you're also like, but I can do something about it while I'm like this. I can still be grateful.
That's what I like about this quote the most. Yeah. I like what you just said, is you're not floating around going, this isn't happening, it doesn't affect me, I'm fine, I'm a grateful person. That's not what he's saying.
Mm-mm.
Like what he's saying is this stuff's here, it's real, you can acknowledge it, even when your heart wants to, right? Mm-hmm. Your emotions want to be like, nah, screw it.
Mm-hmm.
That you can still, even in that, choose to gratefulness and choose to be thankful.
Yeah.
Right? Like you said, it's not failing to acknowledge it. You can still acknowledge all that stuff's there and at the same time have practiced this discipline of I am a grateful person. This one makes me think of this came up on the ball field. There's lots of stuff related to God that happens on a baseball field. And I'm sure that's the same with any sport or whatever, but mm-hmm. I've been in baseball all my life and there's just a lot of stuff that you can learn about God and ourselves in the baseball field. And I was talking to a player today who has a little bit of an attitude. And I said to them, and I haven't developed a lot of relationship yet because it just kind of started. They don't know me well yet. I don't know them well yet. And I said, what are you going to be about? Right? Like, and it's another way of saying, like, who are you? Right? Who are you? And what I was trying to get him to say is, well, I'm going to be somebody who tries hard. That's who I am. And if you can get to who this is, who I am as a person, this is what I'm striving to be, then any of the rest of the stuff is going to happen. It's going to happen. Things are going to go down.
Yeah.
But who are you trying to be? Who are you striving to be? Right? What are you trying to be about?
That's
right?
Good.
Like I want to be about. I want Adam Cook. I want to be a person who is about gratitude, no matter what else is going to happen, because it's going to happen, right? Me and Olivia were talking about this before. Olivia's my oldest daughter, and I was like, you got to be a person of integrity no matter what else comes along. And you know that Olivia Cook's going to be a person who does the right thing no matter who's watching, right?
That's good, yeah.
And no matter whether nobody sees it or whether anybody gives me credit for it or whether anybody makes fun of me for it, it'll make no difference. That's who I'm going to be, right?
Yeah.
And this is and then that's kind of what he's saying too, is also though, not even that, even when my own heart betrays me, right? Mm-hmm. Even when my own emotions betray me, I'm still going to be a person who's about this business. And that takes discipline. That's a discipline thing. That is something you're saying to yourself all the time, right? And so I think the challenge for us that he's getting to is, I'm going to be a person who chooses. That's the last part he says. I choose to speak about goodness and beauty, even when my inner eye still looks for somebody to accuse or something to call ugly, right? Like, I'm going to be a person who is about this business of gratitude, about this business of thankfulness or integrity or trying hard, working hard, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be about that even when people don't see it, people hurt me, and even when my own mind, my own heart is betraying me in that, right? And in other words, even though my sinful man or sinful woman inside of me is still trying to eke out and do those things, I'm going to choose to be about this business. I'm going to choose to be this kind of person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Something struck me. I don't know if this applies here, but for the last several weeks, we've been preaching a series called The Birds and the Bees, right? Which is exactly what that is. It's just a talk on marriage and sex and singleness and relationships and all those things, and manhood and womanhood. And in the man part of that series, there was this one little piece that I said that I can't stop thinking about. I brought it up in small group last night. And it kind of went like this. It was directed towards the men, but you can apply it towards anything, anybody. No matter whether or not revival breaks out in my home, God's expectation of me is to be faithful in my role, right?
Mm-hmm.
No matter whether revival breaks out in the church or not, God's expectation of me is to be faithful in my role. And I've been trying to like internalize this and go, you know what that means to me is that no matter what goes down, no matter how people react, whether things grow or don't grow, whether I end up sulking and in a bad mood or whatever, no matter what's going on, I'm going to be about the business of faithfully doing what God has called me to do. So in other words, I'm going to be a person who's about what God's called me to do, right?
Yeah.
No matter what's going down. And it's similar to this. Like, that's a discipline. That's a training over time that no matter what curveballs life throws, I'm still going to choose to be and cultivate this heart of, I'm about my Father's business.
Yeah.
I'm about integrity. I'm about gratefulness, right? I'm going to be the person who's thankful no matter what's going down. And I love the way he talks about, even when my inner eye looks for somebody to accuse or something to call ugly. It's just worded really, really well. And that whole inner eye thing, that whole sinful man, sinful woman, that mm-hmm. the old Stephanie, the old Adam, mm-hmm. is trying to come out. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I always can feel that when it rises up, because it's like the whole idea of triggering.
Yeah, absolutely. Triggering exactly what that is, right? Mm-hmm. Same concept. And I just love the way he says that, because it's going, I can choose to speak about goodness and beauty even when my old sinful self is seeing things as ugly or trying to place blame or trying to tear somebody else down.
You know what's crazy is when you read that part, I was thinking about how like the enemy's an accuser, and I was thinking about how it's like almost like that, even because it's
for
like
sure.
causing us to sin
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about same vein. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about the fact that when he said beauty, I was thinking about the fact that there's so much ugly in the world that you could focus on.
True.
Right? But there is unspeakable beauty in the world that you could focus on too.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's good.
Like for every negative, nasty, horrible news story that there is out there, there is 100 other ones of the beauty of humanity.
Yeah.
The beauty of the world God created. You know, the beauty of all those things. You know what I mean?
That's like, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And you can choose, you can cultivate in yourself, grow in yourself, the ability to choose to see that and call that out versus focusing all your time on the negative. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like it's just I don't know. And I'm a person, like maybe this speaks to me so profoundly in this moment, like right now on the fly. I'm a person who tends to focus on the negative. Like if you go back to pessimists and optimists, Adam Cook is a pessimist. My glass is not only half empty, it's half empty and there's a fly floating in it. Like I'm...
Oh, no.
There's a crack in it, too. You know what I mean? Like I'm... There's a fingernail. Like
you got
there's a
soggy paper straw in it.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Nasty old soggy paper straw. I hate a paper straw with a passion. Soggy paper straw. Yeah, like that's me. And so I tend to focus on the negative. When I think about the news or world events, I'm constantly thinking about the stuff that's going wrong. And yet... If I'm going to be somebody who's grateful, I can still choose though to focus on and find all the things that are actually beautiful.
I know
the world we live in is a sinful, messed up world. Absolutely, right? And it is continually, the Bible tells us this, it is a dumpster fire that is continuing to burn into an inferno, right?
Yep.
That sin continues to mutate, right? And that it's going to get worse before it gets better. That's what Scripture tells us, right? You see this all throughout Scripture. Just read you some 1st and 2nd Peter, right? I mean, it's everywhere. 2nd Peter specifically. And I get it. And Jesus talks about it too, you know? So I understand that the world is sinful and it is continuing to mutate in that sinfulness. And I'm a part of that too. I'm not blaming everybody else, right? We're all a part of that. But at the same time, there is still a massive amount of beauty found in humanity, right, and in nature,
mm-hmm.
Around us all the time, you know, all the time, right? It's everywhere. There is the beauty of God coming out in his creation, and not just in nature, in his creation of us,
mm-hmm.
consistently, right? For every time you see somebody on the news murdering somebody, there is a gazillion other stories of people helping each other, loving each other, lifting each other up, you know, that are profound. Like when we went to two times now, we've taken two different teams to Western North Carolina to help out, and you love Asheville,
mm-hmm.
right, to help out with that area. And it's destruction everywhere. But if you look beside the destruction, you see countless examples of love and care.
That's beautiful.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And concern. Like you see beauty in the ashes, mm-hmm. you know, and it's everywhere. And that's a conscious choice now in saying a conscious choice for us to choose that, to pick that, to see that, and that's a discipline. And I think he's saying that this is a discipline that we can cultivate, right? It's not just some discipline you're born with. You cultivate the discipline, right? You grow it. And it's the same thing with any discipline. I mean, if you have grown a discipline of eating healthy, well, it didn't just happen. You aren't just somebody who, I'm just somebody who has always loved to eat healthy since I was a baby. That's not true, right? You've grown in that. You know what I mean? If you're somebody who has now disciplined yourself to be patient, you just weren't born with that. That's not how it works. Matter of fact, it's a fruit of the Spirit, so it ain't from you. All patience is coming from the Spirit. You know what I mean? And so, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. it's something that you've grown over time. I think he's saying the same thing about gratitude, that it's a discipline you've grown over time, and that it's a choice, a conscious choice. That if I had to pick one thing out of this whole quote that stunned me the most, or you know, made me realize what he's talking about the most, would be conscious choice. It's a conscious choice.
Yeah.
In the face of anything, conscious choice to choose gratitude, and you can always do that. There is a phenomenal book called Man's Search for Meaning, written by a Holocaust survivor. I'm trying to think of his name. Man's Search for Meaning. What's the name of that Holocaust survivor? Steph's looking it up. As soon as you say it, I'll know what it is. Man's Search for Meaning.
Victor Frankl.
Mm-hmm. Victor Frankl. That is one of the greatest books of all time. It's in my top five. We've mentioned it a long time ago. It's in my top five. Literally what he is writing about is the fact that if man has meaning and purpose, he can see that and know that, and it cannot be taken away from him no matter what circumstances. Wow. And he's writing this from this perspective of literally in the, I mean, you are in a concentration camp. You know, it's like hell on earth. And yet with this sense of purpose and meaning, you can see the beauty in life. You can choose those things no matter what you face. It is a phenomenal book about the resiliency of the human spirit. Yes, resiliency of the human spirit to be able to choose and create, you know, have these disciplines to be able to choose these things in the face of a mess, right? In the face of unspeakable horror, mm-hmm. that we can still see goodness, see purpose, and choose, literally see beauty. He even has a whole section in there where he talks about seeing beauty in a concentration camp, right?
Wow.
I mean, just ridiculous, ridiculous. Same thing. It made me think of
I'm
that
gonna
too.
I'm going to read that now.
It's one of my favorites. It's short, too. It's mm-hmm. not that long. Oh, my gosh. Top five book all time for me. All time. I got assigned that in some college class one time, and I was like, oh. And now I like Holocaust stuff. I like to read those things, the history of all this stuff. But I got signed that book, and I was like, oh, my God, Man's Search for Meaning, right? You know what I mean? And I got in, and I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever read in my life. It's top five, right?
Wow.
Anyway, made me think of that, too. So pretty big deal here. Also pretty simple, right? Gratitude as a discipline involves a conscious choice. Yeah, so all of us have a lot of work to do to be able to grow this muscle, this gratitude muscle, right?
Yeah.
To discipline that thing out. And then we can pick it. We can pick gratitude. We can pick thankfulness in any setting, any situation we find ourselves in. That's pretty cool.
Yep.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah. That's a really good one.
It's cool to say that it's a discipline. It's like you're adding something to that to be like, it's not just me feeling this thing. It's like it's a choice. It's something you have to work on.
Yep.
It's something that it's like a workout.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that, you know, the cool thing is too, is that stuff that's based on our feelings always leads us astray.
Truth.
Right. But stuff that we choose, God is helping us in those things. Right. Mm-hmm. So if you and I make a conscious choice to cultivate something like this, God is helping us do that. There is a humility to this. We talked about this in one of the quotes too. There's a humility to this, and the scripture has the promise of God aiding, coming to our help when we are humble, over and over again in scripture, right? Over and over again. And so if we're going to humble ourselves to go, no, I'm going to be a person who's about this business, I'm going to be a person who's cultivating this and growing it, then God's going to help us do that. And that's pretty cool too. Pretty cool thought.
Well, I'm trying not to cry.
This is a good one. This
that
is a good
was good.
One. That last part of his quote, I just had to read it again. I can choose to speak about goodness and beauty even when my inner eye still looks for someone to accuse or something to call ugly. Man.
What? I think I'm going to read something by Henry Nouwen as well because I haven't. I've just seen quotes, but I now feel like I want to read something by him.
Nouwen
as well.
Is some good stuff. And out of all of this, I think out of all the ones we've read, he's probably the most recent.
Okay.
Him or Tozer? They're the most recent. I'm pretty sure Nouwen is more recent than Tozer.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, I mean, he hasn't been dead that long. Yeah, 96. Yeah. 96 is when he passed away.
Wow.
There is another book from him that I'll have to share with you guys on here that's also one of my favorites of all time. I'll grab it and we can talk about it later. But
sounds good.
Anyway, makes me want to go back and read some of this stuff again, like you said. So anyway, get to working on growing that muscle. Right?
Yes.
Choose. Make the choice. Choose it. Even when... Like you said, Steph, that doesn't mean you're not acknowledging the other crap that's there. You're not. It's there, right?
It's like you're steeped in it already.
There's crap inside of you, and there's crap inside of everybody else, and it comes out all the time. but you can still choose to be grateful and thankful and see beauty, even when our emotions and feelings are all steeped up in the bitterness.
Yeah. So. God is with us.
Absolutely. And this is pretty cool right here. This is like it's almost like God just kind of talking directly to us for a minute.
You know, yeah.
It's almost like right now you can feel God going, you can do this.
Yeah.
You can choose this. I know life sucks. I know this happened. I know you struggle with this. You can do this.
Mm-hmm.
You can still see. And I got lots of good things out there that you can open your eyes and pay attention to.
Yeah.
You know.
He's like, and you can do this with my help.
Yep. I got you.
Yay. That's that was
good.
Great.
It's a very good
I
one.
Enjoy that
very
quote.
Very good one. Yeah. Well, that's all we got.
That is all we got. And I really do hope that you are feeling blessed, super blessed, because this is just a really good thing to reflect on. We all can work on our gratitude.
Absolutely. I was struggling coming into this tonight, and that right there really helped me.
Yeah, it helped me too.
I feel different. Different mindset. And my wife and family will be thankful tonight that you and I did this, because
mm-hmm.
this will change my mindset going home tonight.
They'll be like, who is that man?
What is going on? What's wrong with you? Normally, you'd be coming in fussing, tired. Reminding us all of how long a day you've had.
Hey, complaining is a hard thing to break, but we are working on it.
We're working on it. We are working on it. And yeah. God is with us.
Yes, God is with us every step of the way.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Well, thank y'all for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And we look forward to the next episode.
We'll see you later.
See ya.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.